Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hold on, hold on. Money line. All right, never mind. Never mind. Nothing to see here. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. This 2 o'clock hour sneaks up on me every day.
You're a lost cause now. You are a lost cause.
Not a lot piquing my interest tonight. Maybe the Celtics, Charlotte Hornets, perhaps.
Raiders, Chargers.
Can we talk about your night? I think you should brag about what you did.
Well, I'll get into the show. And then,
all right.
That was pretty...
Temple USF.
Love Temple.
I'm Craig Sheba with Pete Shepherd, Chris on the other side of the glass, and we're ready to go on a Thursday. We've got Thursday Night Football tonight. This will be the last primetime game in Oakland, unless they make the playoffs and play at night. But, you know, Then it's off to Vegas, baby. Speaking of Vegas, our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's also the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. You can follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. Follow me at Craig ESPN. Follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. Don't forget to download our app for free and check out our website. 99.3ESPN.com, Sheeman and Shepherd NFL Pick'em Game, Sheeman and Shepherd Fantasy Football. We got a lot of stuff up there you're going to want to peruse. We are very excited. Later on in the program, Tim Brando from Fox Sports will be with us. He is bouncing back and forth literally between he did the Ohio State-Cincinnati basketball game last night. He's got a Big Ten game on football game on Saturday, Iowa and Wisconsin. We'll discuss all things college football with him.
What time is that game?
I think it's a 3:30 game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he indicated to me that he's going against Bama and LSU. And I know he loves him some SEC.
Well, LSU.
Yeah.
Right.
There'll be an extra monitor in the booth.
There you go.
We'll ask him about that. Rick Horror, our business insider, will be on the program as well. So we got a lot to do. That'll be a lot of fun. Plus Wikipedia. And in honor of tonight's game, where we have a pretty good quarterback in Phillip Rivers, kind of at the twilight of his career. Found a nice list today, Pete Shepherd list.
Yeah, I love it.
Best quarterbacks never to win a Super Bowl.
Love a good list.
It is a good list. I actually disagree with a few things.
Never to win a Super Bowl?
Never to win a Super Bowl.
Dan Marino got to be at the top of that list.
No. I think it said never. There's a never win a Super Bowl and never get to a Super Bowl. Never go to a Super Bowl.
Never get to one.
Never get to a Super Bowl.
I didn't see Marino's name on the list.
No.
There's some good names on there that I would put ahead of Philip
Marino.
No, he got to a Super Bowl.
What is the shake and the nod? He did get to one.
Yeah.
It was before BC, before Chris.
One.
Anyway,
how
are you doing, Pete?
I'm doing fantastic. I am doing fantastic. I'm not one to brag.
Go ahead. You know what?
I'll brag, please. That's a good thing.
The three of us historically like to one-up each other and stick it to the other guy. But you know what? I'm going to get out of your way on this one. You had a very worthy event take place last night. I'm very impressed. I'm very proud. The floor is yours.
Well, at the end of the show, I gave you the to be honest, let's be on Tuesday night, I was right about both teams that won, but I was off a little bit. I got backdoor covered in both games. Okay, fine. I am the master of the MAC conference. Last night, I gave you Miami of Ohio and the under, and they hadn't won in Ohio in a gazillion years. Mm-hmm. But I had a feeling last night they were getting 7.5, but the total was 56. I like both. So parlaying that with Boston College early at -2.5, Chicago Bulls +2, and a blowout of Atlanta. Uh-huh. The Rockets in a squeaker, but they cover the 15.5 at the end by a bucket. So what? We've all been on the other end of that.
Yep. Oh, many a time.
I took your Detroit Pistons at -4 and another blowout.
That was the Knicks.
I actually forgot to put in the Minnesota Timberwolves. This was going to be an 8-team parlay, but I forgot, and luckily I did. It ended up being a 17
parlay. Yeah,
they lost
by 20. Yeah.
So my 17 parlay, boom, shakalaka.
17 parlay hits.
Yes. But
woo!
For $1,
One Skittle.
Which brought back $93.40.
93 Skittles.
$93.40, yes, in Skittles.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Now,
so
are you kicking yourself that you didn't put a 10 spot on that, baby?
No, I'm past
no,
that.
No, you got to be happy with what you get.
I'm
yeah, absolutely.
It's hard to win a three-team parlay, let alone seven.
Yeah, no
But I will tell you this. Again,
I got a Saturday 10-teamer that I put together this morning.
No soccer. So last night...
soccer starts in a little bit. Thanks for the reminder, Pete Shepard.
No, shoot. It's almost
been,
swore.
It's been two
Come
days
on.
In a row. Give us a break, man.
You did almost. Wow.
Almost hit the dump button at 205.
I know.
So how
show.
About this? Last night on FanDuel Sportsbook, Chris and Craig, an online customer hit a 12-team parlay, $10.
Jeez, what'd that bring back? $8,000?
$22,952.68. And he played all totals in college football.
No points,
Reds? Played all totals in college basketball. Didn't do anything in college football. In college basketball, NBA, and two hockey games.
Incredible.
Red Wings Rangers under 6.5 and Blues Oilers over 5.5. The rest were all totals over and unders between college hoops and the NBA. And he hit 12. A leg parlay, $10 brought back $22,952.68.
Only see it's stories like that and stories like yours that make me and Chris do stupid things and
like put out a 10-team parlay.
Like a 10-teamer, you're
well,
ready
10-team parlays are fine as long as I put a dollar on and make it fun. So you're not
a dollar,
pshaw,
$10.
All right, coming up.
Might not be in at work Monday.
AB is a doofus again. Many of you.
No.
No.
He's an effing doofus.
Oh, okay.
You gotta use the F word every, like his tweets.
Okay.
Because he doesn't know. Clearly, he must not be doing good in school, doing well in school this year.
All right, we'll discuss that. I would love to discuss North Carolina's basketball program, but nobody saw the ACC Network last
night. It's such a travesty.
You were at a bar,
No, it's such a joke, and I need to – we'll do the SportsCenter rundown, but I need to –
You can't stream it either.
Stream it anywhere unless
they have
Hulu.
They have a bunch of ESPN games. You have to have Hulu Live, too. Now, I have Hulu.
Oh.
You have to have Hulu Live.
So how much is that?
It's another $8 a month. I'm not paying for it. I already pay for Hulu. I'm not paying for Hulu Live.
I know, Chris. That's about 15 Tar Heel games.
I'm going to have to do it.
That's 15 Tar Heel games.
Well, if Xfinity would get their heads out of their butts and get in gear here.
I need to issue an apology to all of our FSU, Miami, and any other ACC football fan out there. Because I didn't realize how much of a sham this ACC network was.
I told you.
Because I'm not out trying to search and find the Miami-Wake Forest football game. I'm just throwing an example out there. I don't even know if they played this year.
Know.
But still, I'm not going out looking for that. So when it's not even anywhere on my TV guide, it doesn't even register upstairs.
I was under the impression initially that you could stream it. Because on our, you can stream a bunch of other ESPN games. ESPN3, they call it. Even in ESPN Plus that we all have. But
no, I don't care. Xfinity doesn't spend any money with this radio station. This is bullplank.
I know.
You guys got to get your act together over there.
I told you it was going to be delayed.
No, but this finally affected me.
There's one thing. Okay, Clemson football's cute in Miami.
No. Who cares?
When we get to basketball season, that's what the ACC is built on.
Hulu Live is $50 a month. Yeah, that's right, because that's like a whole – like people have Hulu Live, Chris, don't have cable.
Yeah.
They use that instead.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right.
It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
I want somebody representing that organization to come on this program and explain themselves.
Here's what they'll do. Xfinity, what they will do is blame ESPN because of the cluster of stations that you have to pay in the sports package, the extended sports package, which usually includes all the ESPN, ESPNU, ESPN2, also includes the SEC Network. And a lot of times those sports packages include NBA TV, NHL TV, MLB. I get all that too. What they're going to do is they're deciding how much they're going to raise it to add the ACC Network. Probably 50 cents a buck.
Make the call.
Yep.
We've got to fix this problem. The Tar Heels got like 12, 13 games on the ACC Network this season. I'm not missing half of the Tar Heels.
Wow.
Oh, Chris Carter just got fired from Fox.
Unbelievable.
All right,
another dumbass.
For a SportsCenter rundown with a very fired up Chris at 9 after.
It was a joke. Cole Anthony breaking ACC freshman records, and I can't even see it. I got to watch on the game cast.
Go to Twin Peaks.
It's unbelievable. Antonio Brown went full AB today, tweeted bleep the NFL, never playing in that bleep league again.
You can go check it out. It's up on Twitter. Other than that, the Everblades got a W last night. I could watch that game if I wanted to. They won 3-2 over the Orlando Solar Bears. And tonight, Thursday Night Football from the Black Hole, the 4-4 Raiders host the 4-5 Chargers. Coverage starts at 8.
All right, let's recreate the timeline on Antonio Brown. Well, frankly, it's been a nice couple of weeks without him in the news. The NFL said it had scheduled a meeting with him to discuss his personal conduct policy with him next week on the 14th. Mm-hmm. Now Antonio Brown is going all Antonio Brown on Twitter. I will read you the exact quote. Quote, imagine conforming to a system, giving it 100% to see them treat me like this is unfairly blank, making money off my sweat and blood.
F
the NFL. I'll never play in that S treat black people the worst, sick, I don't know.
Clear my name
and go bleep yourself.
The only thing missing there is San Diego, like Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Great Will Ferrell reference from Pete Shepard.
Yes,
unlikely.
There's a shocker right there.
That's the upset of the night already.
So despite Brown initially tweeting September 22nd that he will not be playing in September 22nd, that he won't be playing in the NFL anymore, sources told Jeremy Fowler last month that Brown hopes to have his playing status cleared before signing with the NFL team. He's supposed to have a meeting next week. If he goes, as we talked about off air, you're a hypocrite. Why are you going to a meeting that you – and I don't know why Roger Goodell and his little minions would accept you at 345 Park Avenue next week.
But isn't he a hypocrite for playing for the Patriots? Or was that – I mean, same thing. He was like, yay, Grandma, I'm free. When he left Oakland, that little video he did in his backyard. And then he's like, well, I don't need to play. I don't need the game. Then he signs with the Patriots. Then I think he said, I don't need this game anymore. Then he's like, oh, please, somebody sign me. I'm ready to go. Now it's like, bleep the league. I don't ever need to play. I mean, he is so bipolar. I don't mean to use the term loosely.
No, he needs help. How many times have you been saying it? The man needs psychological help. So he's officially been served lawsuit papers from Brittany Taylor that alleged she was sexually assaulted on multiple occasions. Yeah. And he was also accused of sexual misconduct at his home by an artist who was working there in 2017. He's hired Camille Blanton, an attorney, to accept that service and handle this case. This all happened on Friday, and Brown has asked for 45 days to respond.
Wow. What do we got? We got 8 games left? I think the NFL should put him on the commissioner's list for 6 weeks and then fine him another or suspend him for another 2 weeks for this tirade, and then he's done for the year.
He's filed 8 grievances against the Raiders and Patriots, seeking $39.75 million in lost salary, bonuses, and guaranteed money. That gets your lost salary right here, pal. Right here.
I think he's going to end up with like 1/17 of whatever he was owed by the Patriots, and that's going to be it. I think that's all he's going to get.
I don't think he should get anymore. I don't know.
That's just a game check. He'll get that if he hasn't already.
I think that's all he should get. But
do you think Robert Kraft's going to willingly write that guy a check? No.
Remember, this is the same guy.
You got to pay him for the one game.
When he does see that check, it's going to be a long time from now when he sees that check finally.
Remember,
there's a little newsflash, AB. Robert Kraft, he can afford to tie this thing up in the court system for quite a long time.
Well, as we know, AB, who took a picture of his bank account a week ago.
$22 million?
$24 million. Look, I got $24 million in the bank. I don't need y'all. And then he took it down because it's stupid to let people know how much money you have.
Yes, it is.
And I predict that $24 million will disappear shortly. I give it about 3 years. He'll blow through it. And then he'll be broke in his 30s with no skills.
Mm-hmm.
Although hopefully he gets that degree from, where's he at?
And remember, let's not forget the fact that during the deposition a couple months, he threw a freaking nutty. Who does that? Swearing at the attorney? I mean, just throwing a nutty at a deposition.
I would recommend you remain professional during such things. I would wear a suit and tie and be very calm. That's how I would roll.
Somebody's tweeting about wanting to know about Chris Carter.
Well, you did mention that.
So Chris Carter is out from Fox. He missed his 6th straight episode of First Things First Thursday, whatever that is. These shows that nobody watches. Bottom line, he was ticked off about being passed over for the Thursday Night Football pregame show, which is literally filmed downstairs from the FTF First Things First New York studio. Mm. So prima donna Chris Carter, way overpaid.
Is that the one with where Gronk was introduced and it's Howie Long? It's the Fox
show, but it's outside.
But that doesn't make sense to me because the Chris Carter show I always thought was done in Los Angeles.
They can't do a 6 a.m. show in Los Angeles.
His partner The other guy?
Yeah.
Was a radio personality in Houston when I was there and left to go take the job and said, I'm moving to L.A. to go work with Chris Carter. On the show. But you're right. It doesn't, time-wise, it doesn't make any sense. It'd be 3 a.m. over there.
No.
So who knows? So, if he doesn't show up for 6 shows in a row, I guess he's trying to be fired and throwing a little tantrum. And by the way, Chris Carter, you're nothing special, dude. I'm just going to let you know right now, there's a million of people like you out there on TV, and nobody's tuning in just to see what Chris Carter has to say.
This is what Craig was talking about. So Carter, Wright, and Wolf shoot their weekday morning show at the site of Fox's Thursday Night Football show in Midtown Manhattan. However, Fox has chosen to fly in Tony Gonzalez and other L.A.-based talents to appear at its New York-based pregame show. Fox has also rolled out the Thursday Night Football red carpet to Rob Gronkowski and as recently and Ryan Glassbeagle of The Big Lead reported Sunday that Carter had been suspended by Fox pending the results of a Fox investigation.
Usually if you don't show up for 6 days in a row, you're getting fired. You're getting a pink slip.
Despite being listed as an NFL analyst on his network bio, Carter has been missing in action on Fox's Thursday Night Football coverage as well as on the network's top-rated Fox NFL Sunday pregame show with Bradshaw, Jimmy Johnson, Michael Strahan, Howie Long, and Kurt Manefee. Rumors have bubbling since Friday about an alleged blow-up between Carter and his bosses at FS1. Source said it was bad.
Well, look, I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't get anything by watching Terry Bradshaw and Michael Strahan walk around in a crowd at New York for 2 minutes before Thursday Night Football. It does nothing for me.
Nope.
But that is their brand. And if Fox decided that those guys were going to be doing the Thursday night with Joe Buck in the booth also, Chris Carter has no place in that.
No.
Shut up. Go home.
Got himself feeling hurt.
He thinks he's bigger than he is.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even the best receiver in Vikings history. So pipe down.
Jeez. He took Randy Moss under his wing and showed him the ropes.
Mm-hmm. I know. And then Randy Moss showed him how to go deep.
Mm-hmm. Well, Randy Moss, I think, has really grown as a broadcaster.
I agree with you.
Absolutely. I was not sure what he would be all about and how seriously he would take it. But hey, I think he's terrific.
Yeah, he's not bad.
No.
I got no problems
with
Chris
Carter, to me, is boring. It's Bayless. All those people. I mean, it's just those shows. Who's watching? Who watches them?
Oh, who watches them?
Yeah.
No.
I was a big fan of those shows back when I didn't have a job. When I was in college,
yeah,
they were excellent. That's why everybody my age loves Stephen A. Smith, and we know who Skip Bayless is.
Yeah.
Was because of that midday show.
Really?
Yes.
But it was so off base, so off.
It's entertainment during the mid.
But
don't want to get political here, right? But like The View. Who watches The View? Well, it's stay-at-home moms, right? They're developing this whole demographic that's caught onto this thing.
Yeah.
And it's just seven women at a table flapping, not really saying anything. They're just talking, kind of like Stephen A. And Skip would do.
Yeah.
They're just saying words, and sometimes they get loud when they
Let me tell you about The View, okay? And it's my favorite saying. It's pedantic blathering. It is absolutely.
It's great.
Most of it is useless.
Who cares who the all-time starting five is in the NBA? It means nothing. But it's great. It's talk radio on television is what it is.
Row the Boat says on the Stony Brook text line, you guys shut your mouth. Chris Carter is a Viking legend and leave it alone. Totally have much respect for him as a player. Absolutely. But as a broadcaster, he is an egomaniac.
First Take was excellent. Back when it was those two.
Back when it was Skip?
Yeah,
I
got the Skip and Stephen A. back when I was in college.
Yeah.
These kids today with Max Kellerman, like, I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
You gotta listen to a dude saying that wide receivers are intentionally dropping passes because they don't like Carson Wentz.
And now you got Skip Bayless over there with Shannon Sharp.
Bayless was just as bad with his unbelievably awful takes.
Oh, I know. It was great. His take on LeBron James, spectacular. Spectacular.
Well, he would say stuff, and you would wonder if he really meant it. He's just saying stuff just to say
stuff. Yeah, but you know what? He signed a deal for, what, $5 million a year?
He got paid.
Okay. Okay.
He got paid.
And he has his fake Twitter accounts, and he supports himself on Twitter and all that stuff. But fine, you got $5 million.
No, I don't. Hey, it's not. So you take what you can get. It's just the people giving him that money are idiots.
Yeah.
Dumb. Same people that gave Francesa all that money at FAN in New York, Intercom. Stupid. Absolutely stupid. Give that guy $5.1 million to caricature of himself, and then he retires again? And there's so much crap that goes on in this business that infuriates me because the people making the decisions have no freaking idea what they're doing. They spend and give millions of dollars to people who don't get ratings, a lot of them, and no one's watching, or they're bumbling fools like Francesa has become in New York. It is embarrassing.
You wouldn't think some of the people in this business. $5 million a year would actually, you know, get by on $1 million. Why are they paying these $5 million salaries?
Exactly. Like Francesa wouldn't go back for two or two and a half.
He's leaving terrestrial radio.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's leaving.
Is he leaving or is he being pushed out?
He's being pushed out.
Yeah.
He said he's leaving. Of course he does. He's never been wrong about anything in his life. Don't you know that?
He's pushing his podcast, right?
By the way, you know what his big breaking story was yesterday?
What?
Belichick came this close to leaving the Patriots in 07. Been sitting on that for 12 years.
Yep.
Where was he going?
Nowhere. To coach LaCroix.
It was after Spygate. Remember?
He did a thing back when he and Mad Dog were on. I'll never forget it. It must have been after the Giants won the Super Bowl in 90. I remember listening to him talking about Bill Parcells. He's like, I take a bullet for the guy. I take a bullet for the guy. I'm like, Parcells would not take a bullet for you. I could tell you that.
Pay for play texting in. Pete, a few days ago. Stop rubbing stuff. Pete today. Pedantic blathering. Found that quite funny. That's pretty good.
Then he followed it up with incredible range. Row the Boat is really, he likes his new text name. Very happy that he got one finally.
Yeah. Well, who's Row the Boat? What used to be?
He used to just be a phone number.
Oh, okay.
What is Row the Boat? I hear people saying that all of a sudden.
PJ Fleck, Row the Boat.
Oh, Minnesota. Of the Minnesota. Golden
Land of a
Golden
Thousand
Gophers.
Lakes, Row the Boat,
no,
in Minnesota?
It has nothing to do with that.
It has nothing to do with the...
No, it's you gotta keep rowing the boat. If you stop rowing the boat, you're going to slow down. So you always got to row the boat.
So it means the same thing as pound the rock.
It's tiring.
Pound the rock, row the boat. What else? What other...
Pound sand.
No, that's not pound sand.
I know.
Keep grinding.
Brian says... I'll let Brian's a favorite texter now.
Yeah, it's always the process,
I pay you guys
right?
$5
Trust
million.
Trust the process.
You know what, Brian? Minutes. You pay us 5 minutes. We'll split it.
Yeah. I'm in on that.
I'm cool with that.
Sweet. All right. Let's see. What have we not covered here today? I wanted to get
the phones.
Oh, is there somebody on the phone?
Yeah.
Why is my thing not working?
Because it's not reset. You got to reset it every day.
239-337.
Joe's in Fort Myers. I'll take care of it.
Thank you.
Joe.
Good afternoon, guys.
What's up, Joe?
I just got to tell you, you guys make my afternoon every new. I love listening to you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Chris Carter is so full of him. Chris Carter saying that he taught Randy Moss how to be a receiver is, to me, like Drew Bledsoe saying he taught Tom Brady how to be a quarterback.
He
well,
did.
I think he helped. No, but as far as guys taking people under the wings, I think there's a lot of truth to Drew helping to try and, you know, professionally. I think Chris Carter did help Randy Moss initially. The problem with Randy was with Minnesota, and then as he got good, whatever authority Chris Carter may have seemed or a father figure, whatever you want to call it, had on him, you know, all of a sudden he's doing the fake mooning job against the Packers. He's taking plays off. When he knew the ball wasn't going to him, you knew what formation the Vikings were going to. It meant it was not going to be him if he's, you know.
I just think that most of the wings that Chris Carter has, if you know his history, came from, most of his flying came from alcohol consumption.
Most of his what?
Most of his flying came from alcohol consumption. That's where he got his wings.
Oh, wow. Well, did he do some blowback in the day, too?
He had his tough times in Philly.
He had his tough times in high school.
I can't stand anybody who that's – I shouldn't be passing judgment, but when people are that full of themselves, it just bothers me.
Yeah.
Well, Chris Carter, he's not alone. Trust me, he's not alone. And you add on, he's a former, you know, all-pro wide receiver. And this is what happens. You get – and then we talk about athletes being enabled. There are media people in this business that have been enabled – and you scratch your head and you hear some of the stories, some good, some bad. There are a lot of good ones. There are a lot of people that, you know, did it the right way, worked hard, did what they had to do. I think, you know, Craig and I kind of hopefully represent that in a lot of ways. But it is amazing to me, the dumbbells that are in broadcasting, and particularly higher-ups. It is absolutely stunning to me how some of the decisions that are made from people that have absolutely no idea. I don't know how they got these positions. I really don't.
I have found when I was in Los Angeles, some of the weirdest decisions were made by TV executives.
and they're at the top of the bleep list. Them and consultants right underneath.
Yeah.
Let's do a focus group. Focus on this.
Oh, love a good focus group.
Yeah, focus on this.
All right.
I hear about those about once every 6 months.
Do a focus group.
Happens in every market.
See what your listeners want to hear.
Yeah.
Great.
I think I know.
Awesome.
And then it's just like being a manager in baseball and taking advice from the fans. Eventually, you end up sitting with them.
We had one year who said, you know, you should probably play more Miami Heat basketball. Okay, yeah. Thanks a lot for your opinion on that, pal. Let me do just that.
And then they sent a letter to Clippy.
It's busy. He was rude to me because he said he wouldn't play Miami Heat basketball anymore. What is wrong with you? Shut up!
It's just, the NBA doesn't do well over here. Yes. I love the NBA.
Did he even live in the state of Florida?
No.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when we come back, I do want to talk a little bit more about Cole Anthony's performance last night. Not bad.
Put it in the Raptors.
Not bad.
Number two in the Raptors.
Barely covered.
Wow.
You're retiring his number already after one performance.
Guys, I put Preston Williams in the Hall of Fame in the preseason.
Yeah, now
Cole
he's out for the
Anthony's
year.
Numbers
you know,
going
Preston's
up in the
out
Raptors.
For the year.
Yeah, when he had a two-touchdown game.
You know what? I want you to do something during the break if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I want you to look up the box score of Michael Jordan's first game at North Carolina.
Oh, Cole Anthony blew it out of the water.
I'm sure he did.
It's because Dean Smith played great defense on MJ.
Okay. Yes, true. All true. All right, we're just warming up here on a Thursday. Sheba to Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
LL Cool J is hard as hell. Battle anybody, I don't care. You tell, I excel. They all fail. Gonna cocktail double L, must rock my bells.
Is this LL Cool J?
Word
yeah,
to
you
your
got
mother.
That?
Yeah, I got it from the beginning.
That's right. I'm LL Cool C Note, along with Pete Shepherd and Chris.
You sound like it.
Glass.
You are Potsy Weber. I'm teasing.
I'm so cool, I'm frozen. How about that for a one-liner? Drop the mic.
Great one-liner.
Sheeman the Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Grand Poobah checking in. You already know what we want to hear. We want to hear about poop, peeing in pools, adventures, and anything food with an occasional sports topic for a break.
That's it.
I did give Chris a homework assignment during the break.
Can't find this.
I asked him to find Michael Jordan's first game as a North Carolina Tar Heel after we saw Cole Anthony light it up for 34 last night. You're a one-dimensional team, Chris.
I don't disagree with that, but it's a pretty damn good one dimension through one game, right?
Pete, who impressed you more, Cole Anthony of North Carolina or Tyrese Maxey from Kentucky coming off the bench for 26 on opening night against Michigan State?
I think it's pretty close.
Those are two players of the year, clubhouse leader.
I think it's pretty close. The most impressive thing is watching Kansas stay in a game where they turn the ball over 28 times.
Yeah, so is Kansas good?
Yes. I think.
Okay, because if they button that up, they're going to be unbeatable.
I'll give them a pass because having, I don't know, opening day yips, jitters, whatever you want to call it. But they should have won that game by double digits easily.
All right.
But anyway, Adam Vinatieri said he actually tried a few laces in kicks yesterday in practice.
Nice.
Just in case the results, he said, quote, the ball hooked left a lot. He also defended his field goal unit, calling snapper Luke Rhodes and holder Rigoberto Sanchez as good as any guys ever played with. So that's BS quote number one.
BS
quote number two comes from Mike Bond, who finally has accepted the job, amazingly, at USC. He's leaving Cincinnati. Asked today if there was any truth to reports that he hesitated to take the USC job because of talks with President Fultz about Urban Meyer. He said, quote, absolutely not. There's no legs to that. No, no. I smell the dingleberry poop coming through my laptop from here. Can you?
Oh, yeah. It's very pungent. It's very pungent.
Anybody buying that?
I don't believe a word he says.
Here's a few $100,000 more. Shut up.
And for those who don't know, the president at Southern Cal is a woman.
Carol
Fultz. But, I mean, she...
Yep, president.
She put her foot down and says, look, whoever the next AD is not going to be hiring Urban Meyer as our new head coach.
I don't know what squeaky, clean Division I coach for a Power 5 school, if there is such a thing, is someone with a squeaky, clean image
that
she thinks she's going to get.
Nick Saban.
I mean,
pretty clean.
Yeah.
Not Urban.
Yeah. You know what?
Give me one SEC coach that does have something against him.
Current? I don't think anybody. I mean, what do you mean against him?
Here's the deal with Nick Saban.
Well, there's the Dan Mullen stuff from Mississippi State, but I'm going
to... Nick Saban doesn't need to cheat. All right? Kids are knocking down his door because it's a one-way ticket to the NFL.
Yeah. So, speaking of one-way ticket, I got that 1981-82 UNC.
Oh, you do?
You found Michael Jordan's first game?
Well, I don't have his first game, but I got his season stats.
All right. Are they mediocre?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, look who was on that team, though.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was the third best player on that team.
Who's that? Worthy,
yeah, James
Black,
Worthy, and Sam Perkins. Yeah, Jimmy Black was there. Matt Doherty was there.
Please.
Like, they had a really good team.
They still should have lost to Georgetown. Freddie Brown didn't throw the ball.
Still
away.
Got beat by Indiana.
Yeah, they did. No, not this team. Remember, this team went on to win the national championship and beat Georgetown.
Yeah, that's the one that Freddie Brown threw the ball away.
Yeah, then the next year we knocked you out. Dan Dockett shut down Michael Jordan.
Way to go.
Hadn't stopped talking about it since.
Yeah.
Right, so what
it's also the last national championship Indiana won.
No.
Did you win in 87?
We beat North Carolina in 81, and then we beat Syracuse in 87. Yep. Then we lost to Maryland in 02. Hmm. Just want to throw that in because that's in this century.
Right. Gary Williams, that was a fun Maryland team to watch.
Gary's
Steve Blake.
Great. Gary was
Stevie
a
great, franchise.
Great coach. Yeah.
Wow. You know what? A little college basketball tangent. That's the rivalry I probably missed the most.
What?
Maryland-Duke. Those were excellent basketball games.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Those were fantastic games.
Because they were the only team that could beat Duke once in a while, and you hate Duke.
Yes.
Okay.
But they were good games as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you could give Maryland the option to go back to the ACC, they would do it at a drop of a hat.
I would drive them there myself.
Yes.
They have no purpose in the Big Ten.
But, so Michael Jordan's freshman season, he averaged just over 31 minutes per game, 13.5 points per game, almost 2 assists, 1 steal, and no blocks.
13-2-1-0. That's weak.
Yeah.
How did he become the GOAT of all time?
Look what's on his team.
Still.
So you had
You
had Worthy average 15.6, Perkins average just over 14, and MJ average 13.
Wow, they were really sharing the ball, weren't they?
Yeah, that's great coaching.
Wow. Dean Smith didn't even know what he had. Meanwhile, Cole Anthony just throws him up for wherever for 34 points last night. See if he averages in the upper 20s.
A little scary that one guy goes for 34.
What's the next highest score for North Carolina yesterday?
It wasn't 10. He was the only player in double digits.
That could be a problem.
It could be a problem.
College basketball doesn't work very well that way.
It does not work that way. You're right. Let's go look at Trae Young.
Mike Krzyzewski will know how to slow that down. The Bill Belichick. Take away the best weapon.
This is me taking my North Carolina hat and shirt off today.
Really?
Duke needed Kansas to turn the ball over 28 times to win by 3.
Right.
I think that Duke has a ways to go here.
Really?
I'm not saying anything about North Carolina. Every team is going to be better, obviously, by the time tournament rolls around. But Trae Jones was the clear weak link on Duke last season.
Yeah.
I mean, any team that played Duke was basically begging Trae Jones to shoot the 3.
Yeah.
Because he can't. Because he's inept from behind the arc.
Right.
He's their best scorer this year.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good thing.
Probably not. Maybe Kansas is just way better than both of you.
Well, maybe.
Maybe, but they can't turn the ball over 28 times in a game either.
I'm shocked Bill Self is still a coach of the team after what went on in the offseason. I am.
Nothing to see here.
Apparently not.
Nothing at all. I'm trying to think. So the first game Michael was in for Carroll was 81-82. They actually opened up against Kansas.
Kansas, yeah.
They won 74-67 at the Charlotte Coliseum.
If you can get a box score from that game, good luck. I'm clicking on links. I'm trying to do everything, and I can't get there.
You need some microfiche on it. Do you know what microfiche is?
No, is it a small fish?
No, it's when you used to go to the library and get like on a film.
Microfilm, yeah, slide it across the big
projector. That's where you would get stats like this from old newspapers.
So look at the assistant coaches, Bill Guthridge, Eddie Fogler, and Roy Williams.
Bill Guthridge, who later took the Tar Heels to the Final Four before they lost to the Gators in 1991, or was that 2001?
He was a compiler. He won like 30 games every year, didn't get it done, and they wanted him out of there after the second year.
Guthridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He lived off of Dean Smith's recruits.
Had that probably the highest winning percentage in the history of North Carolina.
No, see, and here's the thing, though. No, he had it. I'm sorry. Then Matt Doherty takes over for Bill Guthridge.
That was a disaster.
It was a disaster. Yeah. The worst Tar Heel team I had ever seen until he goes out and recruits the class that Roy Williams eventually takes over with.
Yeah.
Sean May, Raymond Felton, Rashad McCants goes on.
Don't talk to me about
Illinois,
Sean May.
Beats Illinois in the 2004 National Championship game. I was there. Thank you very much. Beat Sparty in the Final Four game before that.
Yeah.
The closest I've ever got to actually getting in a fight at a sporting event when I was 14 years old.
All right, a lot to unpack there. First of all, I'm mad about the Sean May thing. His dad was Scott May, who was on the undefeated Hoosiers.
That's right. We got him right.
You got him because Bob Knight just got fired.
Arguably the two best bigs in UNC history came out of the state of Indiana, Tyler Hansbrough and Sean May.
Yes, you're rubbing it in my face. Bob Knight had, Bob Knight had just been fired, and so the May family took it out on Indiana and went to North Carolina. Now, I want to hear about how you got in a fight at age 14.
No, I didn't know. I didn't get in a fight. It just...
Start running your mouth. I know how it goes.
No, I really was not running my mouth.
I doubt this
I'm decked out in Tar Heel
stuff. You're lying like Chris Carter right
now. I'm decked out in Tar Heel stuff. We're at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis.
I was there.
Were you there?
I was at that Final Four.
Okay, I was there as well.
Mm-hmm. Michigan State and Louisville were the other two teams.
And Louisville were the other two teams.
Yeah, I had horrible seats.
Michigan State, yeah, I did as well. Top row, very backside, like I could look off the back of the bleachers and look down and see the football field below us.
Oh, wow.
It was bad. Wow. It was scary.
Okay.
But anyway, I digress. So we're walking out of the stadium. Carolina was playing the second of the two Final Four games.
Yeah.
And there's this Michigan State kid about my age.
Yeah.
And he's crying.
Yeah.
And I kind of started, I didn't laugh, but I kind of started laughing a little bit.
Yeah.
And the kid like got in my face.
How tall was he?
We were the same height. This is, I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
And I kind of just kept laughing louder and mocking him almost.
Yeah.
And he started going on because Big Ten things, they're going to stick together. Oh, Illinois is going to whomp you in two nights. Well, we remember how that worked.
Well, Illinois notorious for choking. Yeah, not usually,
but that
not
was
even
a
getting
great,
to Final Four.
Was that
Fours.
Lou Henson or was it?
No, that was Bruce Pearl, Illinois.
Bruce Pearl. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That was Bruce
but
Pearl,
before that,
Illinois. Belusa,
but anybody who coached Illinois, you knew they were probably going to lose, upset in the first round.
They had Darren Williams was that team. They had three spectacular guards from that Illinois team.
Yeah.
They ran the table throughout the regular season. I think they lost in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
But they were still like the clear number one seed for the tournament that year. That was a fun 04 season. That was a fun college basketball season, I remember.
Well, did you finish your fight story? He got in your face, and then what happened?
Oh, our dads broke it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cooler heads prevailed.
I'm going to ask your dad about that story.
That was a good time.
I want to get his version of your story.
That was a good time. Fun had by all.
Dookie George, why do Indiana fans get so upset about Sean May? Don't tempt me.
It's because he won.
Because Scott May was his dad.
And he was the best. He was the most dominant player in college basketball that year.
Whatever became of him?
He's an assistant at UNC now.
He had much of a career.
Not much in the NBA. No. He lived on the block.
Yeah.
And he wasn't 7 foot. He was like 6'10".
Right. But
he could dominate in the college game.
Yeah.
But you put him in the NBA and it never worked for him.
Not happening. All right, when we come back, we got a trip down Sound Street. Later on today, Pete Shepard, get yourself ready for Chargers and Raiders trivia.
Good times.
For Wikipedia.
Wrong team favored tonight.
Ooh.
They are going on what the Chargers did to Green Bay.
Yes.
It's like that's some kind of it's got to carry over. They are. You are nuts. Sorry, never thought I'd be saying that about the Raiders this late in the season, but love the Raiders.
You're going to give John Gruden the coach of the year, aren't you? He's your coach of
the
year.
Well, he's got to be considered.
He's right up there.
He's got to be considered right now.
I thought he wasn't going to be there longer than Hugh Freeze at Liberty. What are you doing to me now?
But there's still a chance for the demise. Opportunity is still there.
Okay.
I don't know. I think Hugh Freeze is going to get snatched up pretty quickly. He's winning football games at Liberty.
Florida State! Forgot about mentioning him.
Is he sitting up yet, or is he still laying down in the bed?
No, he's sitting up. He's beating up on teams.
I don't know if he's walking.
All right, so Sound Street coming up next. And Tim Brando will join us. We'll talk all things college football with him from Fox Sports before we leave the airwaves. Stay with us. Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Scheman and Shepard.
All right, here we go. Maybe you heard the story about Mitchell Trubisky, the quarterback of the Bears, wanting the Bears facility to turn off all the TVs so they didn't have to hear any more criticism anymore.
Almighty.
It's a true story. Here
yes,
are the words from the actual mouth of Mitchell Trubisky.
You mentioned this positive mindset, to use your words last year. If you maintain the zero dark 10 approach and just hearing certain messages as opposed to
ghosts.
Yeah, I've done pretty good with that.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are and what we're not. But they don't really know who we are or what we're capable of, people, or what we're going through or what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in. And so, yeah, tunnel vision, earmuffs, and just come to work every day and try to get better and get back to what we know we're capable of doing.
Huh. All right.
It All sounds right, better than what the headline was.
Right, it does.
Yeah, but yeah. Better, well, not good, better.
So if they were 5-3 instead of 3-5, you'd probably say turn up the volume.
Yeah,
right?
Let's hear it. Let's
pump
hear
up the jam.
Well, no, that's what he's saying. Zero dark 10.
Yeah.
Zero dark 10.
Because he's number 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like LeBron James goes zero dark 23 during the playoffs. Yeah.
I couldn't get past him using earmuffs. That's something you say to your three-year-old when you're about to say something you don't want your
Well, I mean, he's block out the noise.
Second Will Ferrell reference of the day. Good job.
Oh, not bad. Ron Rivera says the best thing to do is to put Cam Newton on IR.
Cam worked very hard in working towards, getting better. And, he went up, saw Dr. Anderson, and he's progressing. We feel right now probably the best thing was to put him on IR and move forward. And that's where we are with the guys. I really do appreciate everything Cam does. I appreciate the fact that he's still here. He still wants to be around and be part of it. And he's done a great job doing that. So with that, I'd like to start talking about playing the Packers.
Next hour, I'm going to tell you what D'Angelo Williams, former Panthers running back, had to say about the coaching staff and the higher-ups. Not very happy with how they're handling Cam, which I think is a ridiculous comment, but I'll get to it later.
They don't know. Guy can't play.
No. Here's Andy Reid on Patrick Mahomes. We'll just wait and see.
Yeah, we're going to see with a little bit more and just see how he works, and how he handles it. And then we'll go from there. Rick and his crew have done a good job of monitoring. Patrick's been honest with him and shot him straight. He obviously wants to play. I mean, that's him. He's wanted to do that since 20 minutes after it happened. So, but we just got to see, not only today when he works, but how he wakes up with it in the morning. So, I just think it's day to day. We'll get both guys ready to go, and we'll like we did last week, and we'll be. We'll take it from there, see how it all works.
Okay.
I saw a tweet about, 5 minutes ago of him running out on the in warm-ups and everything else. He was with the second team.
Oh, yeah?
Wasn't with the first team. Mm-hmm. Also, James Conner out Sunday with a shoulder problem for the Steelers.
Keep that in mind.
Yep. Keep riding Jalen Samuels in fantasy.
All right, here's Doc Rivers, who feels for fans when superstar MVP types like Kawhi mm-hmm. Leonard don't play. They take the night off. They got to do what's best for the team.
Listen, I'm a fan of basketball as well, not just a coach. And so I feel for that. I understand that. We obviously have to do what's right by our players. We have to. It's our duty. And for a fan, it's really a tough one. And there's no answer. There's no correct answer that I'm going to give you that will satisfy that person that you're talking about.
I think you got to take in consideration also nationally televised games. I'm particularly interested tonight watching TNT, the doubleheader Celtics Hornets, and then the Trailblazers Clippers.
The problem
to see what Charles and Shaq and Kenny said. I know the problem, but I'm wondering if they have any additional thoughts about it.
The best solution that I've heard is you don't give teams back to back nationally televised games.
Yeah.
Because like Doris Burke was great last night. The clip, I think, from Trey and Wingo, and she was on with Sarah last night. They played the clip. I thought she had a terrific explanation of the whole scenario. She's upset about it. And ESPN gets screwed last night, and TNT doesn't.
Yeah, TNT gets it tonight, but it'll happen reverse at some point this year. Maybe it's not with Kawhi, but a fix to this is, for the TV audience at least, is no teams are allowed to be on national TV back-to-back nights. That way you eliminate the risk and you just tell all the teams, hey, play your guys on the nationally televised broadcasts, and then the following night or the night prior when you're on just your local market, sit them that night.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we'll hear from Nick and Dabo regarding the game of the century, the exhibition game of the century Saturday, because it doesn't really count. And then we'll also preview tonight's Chargers-Raiders game for Thursday Night Football.
This man does not represent me.
I know. I represent me. The thoughts and opinions of Craig Sheeman do not necessarily represent those of Pete Shepard. That's why we're Sheeman and Shepherd.
Or on, the planet.
On 99. Well, I am a man of the planet.
No, that's
Sheeman
my line.
And Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.